Hi everyone, welcome back to Heavenland Devotions, or else known as the Little Green Pasture. Well, I'm glad to be here today and I'm glad you're here too. I pray that everybody is refreshed today, and maybe it's evening while you're watching this, I don't know. But if you're not refreshed, I pray that this message will be absolutely a stream of living water to refresh your soul. So before I get started, I always honor the Lord Jesus Christ in prayer. Amen. Dearest Lord Jesus, I come to you this hour, Lord, on spiritual bended knee, and I submit myself under your mighty hand. And that, Lord, your word would be upon my lips. And that while I'm speaking within me, I'll be musing. And then my heart will become hot within me. Lord, I pray, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord God, my Redeemer and my God. Bless everybody that hears this message. But let it be more than just a message. Lord, let it spring life within their souls. For it is in your hands I leave this message. And I ask you to bless it for your name's sake. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to talk to you today about meditation. And I was thinking about it during the time of my own meditation. I meditate daily upon God. I set a time, I reserve a time every morning that I get alone with Him. And sometimes that's not always possible. Like I said, we live in a small house. And sometimes that alone time is not always an alone time. And I'll be talking about that too, about meditation and alone time. And everybody has their own idea, really, what meditation is about. Some people meditate, they think they have to sit in a special place or a special room, or they have to sit in a special way, or, you know, everybody kind of has their own way they get to the Lord. They prepare themselves in meditation. And I suppose we all do that. You know, I have my spot that I meet him at every morning, but I have learned through the decades of life that the training comes also in meditation, because sometimes we get too comfortable in spots where we can only hear the Lord, or if I can't sit here or it can't be this time of day, then I have missed out on something. But that's not true. It's habits that we form, but there are certain times that we should reserve solely for Christ. So I want to talk to you today about meditation and the absolute necessity that every believer must have, and why I think there's so much spiritual exhaustion, physical exhaustion, and just a host of other things that bring us down. I know there's the human life, there's the human things that happen to us, but I believe that in the human life and in the human things that come to us, that the action of meditation, the act of doing it, it changes who we are. And when things in life come our way, there is a deep reserve, things revealed, depths that keep going deeper and deeper that we tap into. One scripture that has always, always blessed me so much, because I see Jesus so much. He was a man of the fields, wasn't he? Wasn't Jesus always, he was always out there, you know, on the Mount of Olives teaching. And there's all these different scenarios of him walking on the sea, walking on the shore, and all these different places, you know, in the wilderness. And he really was in his earthly life the meditating Jesus. So every time I come to Genesis 27:27, this chapter has to do with Jacob. And Esau, and their father Isaac was getting ready to die. And there was trickery involved with this, who would get the blessing. That's not the point today. But when Jacob pretended to be Esau, his mother put upon him Esau's garments to go bring his father the savory venison. And so when he came in, when Jacob came in to where Isaac was laying, and he said, "Who are you, my son?" He said, "It's I, Esau." And he said, "The voice is the voice of Jacob's." He said, "Come near, let me feel you." And you know, there was like, he must have been hairy. They put skin, his mother put skins on him, and he said, "Well, you feel like him." But this one verse said, "And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment and blessed him and said, 'The smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord hath blessed.'" And you know, every time I come to that, I just meditate on that word. I just stop and I meditate on that. "See, the smell of my son is as the smell of the field which the Lord hath blessed." And you know, I can't imagine what that garment must have smelled like. All the greenery out there that he has walked through, the grasses, brushes, bushes, all kinds of plant life, flowers. All of that was in the woven fabric of this garment. And he smelled it. He says, "See, the smell of my son is as a smell of a field which the Lord hath blessed." It said, but he smelled the smell of his raiment. And you know, I always think to myself, isn't a field, we see a field spread before us in our imagination and in the chambers of imagery within us. And we picture a field that God has blessed, something so rich and beautiful. Everything is healthy and flourishing and fruitful. And I think of that raiment and I meditate on that. And I think to myself, and I've thought this for years, that is the raiment of meditation that I wear every time I come to God in prayer. That all those fields that God has blessed, I think of the blessings of that field represent the blessings of the Lord, as is said, and things that I meditate on in Christ, in his word, in the beauty of his creation. On something I read that morning that carried me through the whole day and kept speaking to me. And yes, this raiment that smells like the smell of the field that God has blessed, I pray you'll wear that raiment also. You know, the Lord is very big on what smells good, you know. We know about the anointing oil and the incense pounded very small. And even the Song of Solomon, it says in chapter 4, verse 6, it says, "I will get me to the mount. I will get before the shout. The day breaks and the shadows flee away. I will get me to the mountain of myrrh and the hill of frankincense." And that myrrh speaks about something that is a sacrifice, you know. And that myrrh is sacrificial of a death spice. And the frankincense is the odors of prayer. And it is so beautiful to me that God uses all these anointing oil, the compounds of the apothecary to make the holy oil. And that even Solomon's garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia. Out of all the flowers of the field. And I think that my meditation of him is in the fields of his word. Because I do see his word, his Bible, all those things written in that his book as his garden. I hear the words in my mind from Song of Solomon, come into my garden, my sister, my spouse. He taught, and she says to him, come into my garden, the garden of her soul, my brother, my spouse. And she says, cause the south wind to blow upon my spices. She said, let them flow out. You know, a lot of times people meditate, but they meditate, I think, wrongly. And let me tell you why. They get so hard pressed into this box of God's word. And so when they meditate on a word, they're trying to press themselves into, I want to understand that word. I'm going to press in. And it's not a pressing in. It's a letting go. It's completely different. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about that, but there's a couple of more scriptures I want to read to you right now. Another one that blesses me is in Genesis 24:63, and Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide, and he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. I don't know whether or not he knew that his servant Eliezer, his father's servant, went to go get a wife for him. I don't know that because it doesn't say it, but I kind of take it that he did know. And so I picture him, he went out to meditate in the field at the eventide. So there's morning and there's evening devotions. And I could just picture her seeing him in the distance and her asking Eliezer, who is that? And he said, that's the one you're going to marry. And she covered her face. You see, it says he went out to meditate in the field at eventide, and he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. Something happens when you meditate. Your eyes are open, but not to gain more intellectual knowledge. It's not about that. In Psalm 104:33-34, David says, I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. My meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. And, you know, I want to talk about how he says, my meditation of him shall be sweet. You know, there's so many scriptures in the Bible that talk about meditating upon the Lord. And David is the one who speaks most of it. You know, he talks about Psalm 119 is replete with the word meditate. And he meditate, I will meditate upon thy law night and day. I will meditate upon thy statutes. I will meditate upon thine ordinances. You know, there was no Bible back then for him. It was only the Torah. It was only the first five books of Moses. And he saw the law and he meditated in it day and night. Joshua was told when he was Moses' successor, he was told that he was to meditate in the law day and night. Because you see, in that meditating of the law day and night, meditating on God's word, it was going to ensure him daily that he was going to take the right steps, that he would be doing everything God wanted him to do, that he would be understanding of God's will, what he loved, what he hated. And it makes, like Isaac, it says he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, he saw his wife coming. Let me go on a little further. You know, I want to say I think meditation furnishes the mind with rest. Spurgeon called it, he said, it is the couch of the soul. Second, meditation then really is the rest of your spirit. And it's really compared to a wine press by us reading our word, by reading and research and study. I look at that as gathering the grapes, but it's by meditation that I press out the juice of those grapes to obtain the wine. You know, a lot of people, and I've done it too, where it's like, I'm pressed for time. I don't know how many minutes I'm going to be before I have this time alone. And, you know, my husband gets up early for work. And that's why I get up so early. One of the main reasons is because I must have that time with him. And, you know, I want to stop here because there was one time, long, long time ago, I was staying with some people and I had a little private thing. Everybody would sleep and I would get up and I would go out into an area of their house where no one I knew would be, and I would get alone with the Lord. And it wasn't just reading. There was meditating. I'd read and I'd feel something in my heart and I would stop because I would just want to let that go down, like when it says in Song of Solomon, that she said, let me drink thy wine, thy sweet wine. She said, let me drink of thy wine and let it go down sweetly. You know, we have to allow that word to go down sweetly. And after a while of my being there, one day, and the person was a minister, he had a church, and this is nothing against him. Please understand, he is absolutely a beautiful brother and I love him. But he tried doing what I was doing, though I never said anything. What I did was private. And one day he was frustrated with me and he said, you know, I tried to do what you do every single day, but you know what it is? It's legalism. And he was mad at me. He was frustrated, though I never said one thing. I would just read my Bible and be quiet because that's what I do here. But see, it did something where it made him frustrated. And I said, no, it's not. It's not that at all. You know, and how I read my Bible is very personal, just like how you read yours. And it's not just to be ran through. Everything is moving so fast. All those Selahs are not just for Psalms. Those Selahs are a meditation. Just that they were Selahs, which means pause and think about it. We're so busy wolfing down the word of God. It's like being in a high-speed train going through some beautiful mountain passes at high speed, and you're just seeing the glory of the Lord in the mountains going by like a blur, and you think you saw the mountains, but you never took in their glory. You see, the Bible is like that. And I ask the question, how is it that so many people who read so much know very little? I was thinking about that, and I think about it often, you know, and it's not a saber rattling. It's not a competition. It's not, well, this is what I heard. This is what I know. This is how my translation says it. Everybody has missed the point entirely. And I think about it like this. It's this warehouse head, the stacking up of information inside the head. It's like, I think about Haggai, where God says, that the seed is left in the barn. It was just left in the barn. It was never pressed into the soil, and instead it became moldy. See, intellect, you build up all that information, and all it does is gets moldy. That's how I see it. Meditation is the rumination of the soul. That's how we get the nutrients that feed and support our mind. And we need meditation to make use of what we discover in God's word. It's making the best of what the soul has acquired. Haven't you ever been reading the Bible? And hopefully you're reading it slowly, and all of a sudden, something you notice about it. There's some word, some phrase. That's what you meditate on. You have to drop everything. Look at David meditated. I picture this. I have such an image of him in Psalm 8, 3 through 5. He says, "When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars that thou hast created, what is man that thou art mindful of him, the son of man that thou hast visited him? Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels and hast crowned him with glory and honor." I just picture him sitting on his roof one night, or maybe he's outside somewhere. Maybe he's in the middle of a battle and he's sitting outside like those shepherds were that night. And he's sitting there and he's looking up at the vastness of those dark heavens and those little eyes, so to speak, those stars looking, shining all over the sky. And he says, "When I consider thy heavens," and that word consider means meditate, like you're considering. I love that word. It's one of my favorite scriptures. And it says, I believe it's in Psalm 95, 4, and it says, "All the gods of the nations are idols, but our God made the heavens." When he says, "When I consider thy heavens, the moon and thy stars, which the work of thy fingers," he's really thinking about him as a real person, the creator of those things. And he sees himself, the king of Israel, as a little nothing. And he was in wonder. He was in wonderment. I think in those moments, I get this feeling he was resting, because that is what meditation is, where you just stop. It can be during the day. And so many people say, "Well, I have to have my meditation in the morning and I have to have my meditation at night." But let me submit this to you. Meditation is all day. You can be sitting at your desk where you work and you just stop for a moment, because maybe some flash of a verse comes to your mind that the Holy Spirit has impressed upon you. And you sit there and you meditate and you think upon it. And it's speaking to you. God is speaking to you, because you see, Jesus lives in his word. Jesus also draws us into meditation in Luke 12, 27. He says, "Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not, yet I say unto thee that Solomon in all of his splendor was not arrayed like one of these." Notice how Jesus always points. I mean, David is looking up to the heavens. Jesus is looking at the creation of the earth. A little flower, the wild flowers. Consider them. Not just one little one. He's like, consider the lilies of the field, meaning the wild flowers, how they grow. I always stop on that, how they grow. They receive all this, they're the lowest things on the ground. They receive all the warmth of the sun. It says in Isaiah chapter 40, it says, but what does it say? All flesh is as grass, and the glory of man is as the flower of the field. Amy Carmichael says, we as the flowers, the wild flowers of the fields of God. She says, that prayer is the breath of flowers. That those wild flowers are the ones that he grows up. He makes to grow. They don't do anything. He is the Lord. Jesus draws you into meditation through the simplest things, but that is your lesson. Don't you want Jesus to perform all things for you? Because it says that in his word. I will cry unto God Most High, unto God who performs all things for me. I think about what Mary said when Elizabeth when Elizabeth saw Mary by the Spirit, she said, let there be a performance of those things that thou hast believed. And she said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. You know, our souls magnify the Lord in meditation. Where our spirit, our soul sits down on a couch and our spirit takes a rest. And what does it say in Isaiah? All flesh is as grass, and the glory of man is as a flower of the field, and the wind bloweth over it. I say, Lord, blow over us. Send forth your south winds and let our spices flow out. You know, I think about what David's, God considers your meditation. See, I love that, how David says, consider my meditation. Jesus says, consider the lilies of the field. But I want to submit to you that God considers your meditation. David says in Psalm 5, chapter 5, verse 1, I think through 4, give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning. O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. You know, God considers what you are considering. Everything you do is reciprocal to the Lord. But there's something so pure, so holy, about making your soul sit down. It's not to acquire more information so you could give a better word to your friend at work, or for even me, when I'm meditating on the Word of God, I'm not in those fields of meditation wearing that raiment that smells like the field, that the Lord God has blessed, so that I could appear here and share something with you. And maybe sometimes I do, but mostly it's because it's time for me to sit down. It's time for me to let it all go. And that's a daily thing for me. And sometimes I'm washing dishes and I'm meditating on something I read that day. I'm looking down at the little old lady who's in her backyard and she kind of walks around, and I'm looking over here and I'm watching some birds landing on some of the bushes and singing. I'm meditating on those clouds moving by in their circuit. You know, meditation reveals heavenly things, prophetic things. The Holy Spirit unfolds higher things. In the book of Acts, Peter was up on the rooftop. He was meditating. And his eyes were open and he saw a sheet that was knit together and it was let down by four corners. And he saw these all manner of four-footed beasts and creeping things. And the story you could read later, it was the opening of the door to the Gentiles. But you know what? He didn't know that that would happen. I believe he said he was hungry. I would also deduce that he was probably tired because he was always traveling around. And I believe that he was on that roof. It was a resting place. And he went into a trance, so to speak. But I say he was meditating. And that's what the scholars say. You know, when you're meditating, it's so refreshing, isn't it? Meditating on things. Maybe somebody said something to you that day. You just really needed to hear that word. And you're meditating on it because it was sent by God through the voice of a stranger. I know I've been there. And do you know, to this day, those words have never left me, from strangers. And I want to talk about doctrine and experience, because what I have seen and experienced is we need doctrine. We have to have the proper and correct understanding of doctrine, but there's never experience with so many people. So they're so bunched up so tight, and their meditation is just to, you know, press in some more information to gather more knowledge, but it's not like that at all. You know, I wrote this down and I got this from J.R. Miller, and this is what he said. The doctrine is the basis of the experience, but as the flower is more lovely than the root, so is the experience of fellowship with the risen Savior more lovely than the doctrine itself. I would have you believe that Christ rose from the dead so as to sing of it and derive all the consolation which it is possible for you to extract from this well-ascertained and well-witnessed fact, but I beg you, do not be content to be only there, meaning stuck in doctrine. Because you know what happens? Hearts become really hard. And Christ can never come in. You know, those who know most of God are such as meditate most upon him. But I want to also bring this in. There is a reverence that happens that begins to grow in those that meditate. See, prayer waits upon reverence. And there is a little reverence in those that pray little. I think to pray well, one must be deeply reverent. But meditation upon great truths and the great works of God are essential to reverence, and they're essential to meditation. Because truly, meditation is on God. It's on his word, his works, his wonders, his miracles. And those that reverence causes us to just slow down. Our weakness, our exhaustion make our soul to sit down. And you know, we're led into that. Don't you feel that when you're reading your Bible, or maybe you're driving or you're going for a walk and something rises up inside of you? The Holy Spirit's leading you to consider the lilies, how they grow. To consider the stars and their courses. A friend of mine told me today that he saw this picture of a bear, and the bear was sitting watching the sunset. And in that, it said that bears are known for watching sunsets. There's been people that have been around and they have seen it, where they've seen bears sit down at sunset and they take that in. And in this one particular one that my friend sent me, it said that the bear, in a sense, was meditating. And these creatures God makes, these bears. And I saw several pictures that were sent to me from different places in the world. And they were sitting there watching the sunset. You see, God's creation recognizes him. They don't know him, but in a way they do. Bears particularly pick out places where they can take in views of the rivers and the lakes and the mountains, and they are seen everywhere, just taking it all in. And that's God's creation. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God. You see, meditation is also where you're pouring out to yourself. Meditation is not just comprised in something silent, but sometimes in that meditation, there is a momentum. There are like billows of emotion that come out. I know that when I'm meditating, sometimes something moves in my heart and I say something to the Lord. So you see, meditation isn't just like where you just sit there in silence. Mostly it is because you're taking in the word of God. You're taking in knowledge of God. you're reading, you read something about him and you put it down. You go for a walk and you're thinking about him as you're looking up at the canopy of trees and you're hearing birds singing, or maybe it's starting to even, there'd be little drops of rain. But you know what? Our meditation of him becomes sweet. I think of what A.B. Earle said, a preacher of old. He said, I did not lack power, I lacked sweetness. And you can tell that a sweetness is missing from the lives of ministers and people, because people that are truly those that meditate in the Word of God all the time are those that radiate that patience, that beautiful love of God. They're quiet in their ways. They're never quick to assume. Their ears have been opened. They've been, the ears of the learned are open, the ears of the meditation. I also want to say there's times I want you to consider when temporal things are failing around you from no real cause. But I think that maybe you might want to consider that there's a neglect of the spiritual in your life. Think about that. You know, in the Psalm 31, Psalm 30, it says the rocks, it says conies, the conies are rabbits. It says, I think it's verse 26, Proverbs 30, 26. It says, the conies make their houses in rocks. And I think, you know, they're the most defenseless little animals in the world. And yet they make their munition in the rocks. They go into the rocks and they're untouchable and they're held there in perfect safety. And Jesus is that rock. And we could be like those conies. And all we could be like those little dwellers in those rocks. Let your meditation of him always, always grow. Let it grow inside of you. Begin to meditate more on God. Stop trying to force so many books into your down your mental throat. Give the Lord, give the Holy Spirit room to move and reveal things to you. Remember in Acts, Peter saw, his eyes were open while he was meditating. Isaac's eyes were open when he was meditating in the field at eventide and saw his beautiful wife coming. The Holy Spirit reveals things no one can. And the more you meditate on him, there's things that will be, there's so many discoveries. You know, David was called the sweet psalmist of Israel at the end of his life. And you know why he was called the sweet psalmist of Israel? I believe because he was made sweet. Because he says, my meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. So if you're lacking sweetness, all that power that you have and all that intellectual knowledge that you have doesn't have the stamp of Christ upon it at all. I pray, let your meditation of him and your considerations of him and his creation, all of that be sweet. And a sweetness will develop inside of you that's from heaven. God bless you.